the rhythm is hitting, we wanna make it clear. We ain't scared, this is the vision we want.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff in studio with Peter Phillips. Today on the program, we are going to be looking into what science tells us about the dangers of cell phones and other Wi-Fi age devices. Are cell phones creating increased health risks? We look at a new documentary film, Mobilize, a film about cell phone radiation. We'll interview the award-winning filmmaker Kevin Koons and play an excerpt from the film. We'll also be joined by Lloyd Morgan, Senior Research Fellow, the Environmental Health Trust, as well as Berkeley City Councilman Max Anderson about a cell phone radiation safety law. Please stay with us. Listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. Today, we are bringing a program on what science tells us about the dangers of cell phones and other Wi-Fi devices. Are cell phones creating increased health risks? Our publishers, Project Censored Seven Stories Press, have also published a book about cell phone radiation and Wi-Fi radiation. This book is called Overpowered. It's by Dr. Martin Blank. And he begins the book by saying, keys, wallet, cell phone, ready to go. Cell phones have become ubiquitous fixtures of 21st century life, suctioned to our ears and stuck in our pockets. Yet we've all heard whispers that these essential little devices give us brain cancer. Could it be true? Well, in 2011, the World Health Organization shocked the international community by confirming that radiation from cell phones is a possible carcinogen to humans. Many of us are left wondering, as Maureen Dowd asked in the New York Times, are cells the new cigarettes? While the presumption of innocence is invaluable to our justice system, it does not necessarily make sense as a public health standard. Today's program will attempt to untangle and demystify some of the biological effects resulting from low non-thermal levels of non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation coming not only from cell phones but many other devices. In general, it's been accepted that there should be a limit on the exposure the public has to electromagnetic fields. However, the telecom industry pushes the envelope. And, of course, in the book Overpowered, Martin Blank argues, we should take precaution and we should teach each other and learn about the steps we can take in our daily lives to reduce our exposure. Again, this is under the precautionary principle. Today, we're sharing a new documentary film called Mobilize, a film about cell phone radiation. It's an investigative documentary that explores the potential long-term health effects from cell phone radiation, including cancer and infertility. This film examines the most recent scientific research, and it follows national legislative efforts and illuminates influence that tech companies have on public health. And Mobilize features interviews with numerous doctors, politicians, cancer patients, and technology excerpts. We'll be talking with Kevin Koons, the award-winning San Francisco Bay Area filmmaker, about that this hour. Here is my co-host, Peter Phillips, to introduce our first guest today. Peter?
Lloyd Morgan is a senior research fellow, Environmental Health Trust, and he's a member of the Bioelectromagnetic Society, BEAMS, as it's called, Brain Tumor Epidemiological Consortium, and he's done multiple science papers on this subject. Lloyd, thank you for coming.
Lloyd Morgan, the World Health Organization announced to the international community in 2011 and confirmed that radiation from cell phones is a possible carcinogen to humans. And many of us are left wondering, as Maureen Dowd asked in the New York Times, are cell phones the new cigarettes?
The cell phones are perhaps even worse than the new cigarettes. First off, you have virtually the entire population using cell phones of the globe. Secondly, you have an enormous percentage of children using cell phones, and children for any carcinogen are at greater risk than adults, and that risk is inverse with age. So the younger you are, the higher your risk until you become an adult, and it is still a large risk, but flat.
Also joining us today is Kevin Kuntz, award-winning Bay Area filmmaker. His new movie, Mobilize, is what we're featuring here today. And he's screened at the New York Directors Guild of America Theater, the Berkeley Art Museum, Pacific Film Archive, the San Francisco Castro Theater. He's been written up in the New York Times, USA Today, Environmental Week. It's a really important movie, which I just recently saw. Kevin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Kevin, what are the most important points that your movie is trying to make?
I would say the most important points are every cell phone manual comes with information that tells you about safer ways to use it. And many people aren't aware of this information because it's in fine print and it's buried in the manuals. The other thing that I took away while making the movie was that children absorb a lot more radiation from their cell phones than adults. So definitely made me a lot more concerned about this issue because I work at Berkeley Unified School District. And so it's one of those things where I see kids all the time using their cell phones next to their heads. And, you know, because they have thinner skulls and developing brains, they absorb almost twice as much radiation than adults. That's shocked me.
Kevin Kuntz, given the increasing, you know, near ubiquity of these devices, particularly among, you were just saying, among younger people. And I know in the film you talk a little bit about young people being exposed, and young people, in fact, are perhaps more vulnerable to this kind of exposure and radiation. Young women are carrying these things around in their bras. Young men are carrying them around in their pants pockets, near their reproductive organs and so forth. And this is certainly something that we should be paying attention to, meaning people should not necessarily be exposing themselves in this way.
Definitely. I was shocked to find out that there are a lot of research studies on sperm reduction and damage, including the Cleveland Clinic in the U.S. And if you think about it, you keep your cell phone in your pocket most of the day and you only talk on it for a couple minutes. So I think that because there's such variation in use, you're not really going to see things in, you know, brain tumor statistics because so many people use it differently. So when you look at the sperm studies, though, those are a lot more conclusive because you got to think, you know, you're spending more of the time there.
Lloyd Morgan, you're a senior research fellow at the Environmental Health Trust. You're a scientist in that regard. And from a scientific perspective, what are the dangers of cell phones, particularly used close to your brain?
What we know quite conclusively from the science studies is that there is a very strong risk for brain cancer, for a hearing nerve tumor called acoustic neuroma, for a large salivary gland in our cheek, parotid glands, and for leukemia, as well as, which you've already mentioned, is sperm damage and testicular cancer. This evidence is extraordinarily strong. The more years of use since you first began, the higher your risk. The more cumulative hours of use, the higher the risk. The higher the power of the cell phone, the higher the risk. The tumor is actually larger with more exposure. I mean, the evidence is really overwhelming.
Well, Lloyd Morgan, let's talk just for a moment, since we have you here and you have this knowledge and expertise, and you just said virtually everyone around, you know, has these devices, right, and multiple devices. What is the risk that you know of simply being around them, having them in a room? I know this is a little off topic with Wi-Fi issues per se, not necessarily cell phones directly, but in France, for example, they've banned the use of Wi-Fi in schools with young-age children.
One of the things that you point out, I think, is very important for people to understand, and that is the fields decrease very rapidly with distance. If you hold a cell phone, say, 6 inches from your head, you get a reduction of the amount of microwave radiation being absorbed by your brain of 10,000-fold. That's a pretty good deal. By keeping phones away from you, by staying at some distance from these radiating devices, you're in a much safer mode. You know, we know that cars are not safe, but we think of them as safe enough. We could change our behavior such that they become safe enough.
Kevin, as you produced this movie and it came out, there was resistance, and actually in producing the movie, there was resistance from the cell phone industry to really talk about these issues. Explain a little bit about that and what's been going on in terms of them trying to repress this information.
So, yeah, I tried to get an interview with the CTIA, the Cellular Telecommunications Internet Association, which was the organization that sued the city of San Francisco when they tried to pass their cell phone safety bill. And I was in D.C. at the time interviewing former Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and I tried to get an interview with them, and they refused. And so I decided to buy a media pass to their San Diego Convention Center. They have a conference they do every year there, and basically went up to the different booths, and I said, hey, are you aware of the fact that, you know, this information is in the fine print in your cell phone manual? And basically, they started to get annoyed after a certain point, and I finally did get an interview with a CTIA spokesperson. But when I asked him questions like, can cell phones be made safer, he basically stopped the interview right there. So they don't want to answer questions about this because they don't have the answers.
So the telecom companies themselves, they don't want to address this potential liability, this ongoing and possibly increasing liability. We've already heard about the 2011 World Health Organization warning, essentially. And in 2012, the U.S. Government Accountability Office issued a report on the need for the FCC to reassess exposure standards for cell phones. And in the report, they said, quote, some consumers may use mobile phones against the body, which FCC does not currently test, and could result in RF energy exposure higher than the FCC. And so is the cell phone industry hiding this information in the fine print? And of course, one might argue that the consumers of these products have a right to know this kind of information. And by the way, I'd like to thank Ellen Marks, who's the president and founder of California Brain Tumor Association, for submitting some information for today's program. Unfortunately, she could not join us, but she brought up many of these kinds of points. Lloyd Morgan, do you want to talk a little bit about that issue? Can you speak to that issue at all in terms of this GAO report and about the testing of RF energy exposure, this kind of a thing?
The GAO report basically noted quite clearly that the FCC was violating its own regulations. That is, the FCC says that the exposure limits are to be determined as normally used, and yet every phone has a distance to keep it away from you, which is not normal use. People do not keep a cell phone 5/8 of an inch from their head. They place it against their ear. They do not keep it 5/8 of an inch from their testicles when they put it in their pocket. The FCC chairman is the former and founding president of the Cellular Telecommunications Industry Association, where he was spent 12 years, and they funded a large number of studies, many of them that found a risk, and he worked hard to suppress those findings.
And this would be
Thomas Wheeler,
right? And we've seen him in the news more and more for net neutrality issues, meaning he's seemingly against that. And given his background, again, those of us that were familiar with Wheeler's background were not surprised to see, you know, the movement that he's made with net neutrality. But given that history with telecom, that's again something that I think people certainly should know more about. Kevin Coons, you want to chime in on that? Particularly
yeah.
with Wheeler. And
yeah, so I tried to get an interview with him, actually, when he was here in Oakland in October, and I went up to him, and he complimented me on my camera, and I said, you know, I'd love to speak with you about this issue. And he just sort of had, like, one of his people sort of, like, nudge me out of the way and just refused to talk about it. It was supposed to be a public forum, you know, but they were only answering questions that were written down, and then they would pick and choose which ones they actually wanted to answer. So not much of a public forum in that fashion. So, yeah, it just seems like they don't want to talk about this issue because they know that once they start talking, people are going to realize how wrong they are. And they've already made quite a lot of mistakes that have made people laugh in my film. there are a lot of moments where they have back talk, where they say one thing and then the reality is something else. And so we call them out on that in the movie. And
you even have a clip from Stephen Colbert in the film mocking this kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting that they would say, you know, in the fine print to keep it a certain distance away and then sue the city of San Francisco saying it goes against their freedom of speech, even though they're already including this information. So
One of the things I think is very important to understand is the cell phone companies cannot get health liability insurance. Insurance companies will not write those policies for them.
So we're talking about really a serious health problem that is not being covered by corporate media, that is being repressed in every way, and the industry is saying, oh, don't worry, it's safe. And scientists, our guests today, this film, are all saying, oh, wait a minute. People are getting tumors. They're getting sick. People are dying from this. And you're saying, Lloyd, that it's as serious as the cigarette smoking was, or perhaps even more serious, because it's ubiquitous across the country and around the globe.
I would say it's a little bit different than the cigarette issue, in my opinion, because for me, I think people are never going to give up their cell phone. They're not going to quit it in the same way you would quit smoking a cigarette. They're going to continue to use it, and I would say none of the people that I work with advocate for anyone to throw out their cell phones. These are incredibly useful technologies, but I think of it more like a car. And it took us years before we put airbags and seatbelts in cars. It took people like Ralph Nader going up and showing death statistics and showing how cars could be made safer. So I think that that is sort of the position we're in right now, where the cell phone industry can be making cell phones safer. They can be coming with instructions about safety, but they're choosing not to. And they're choosing not to because they're afraid of liabilities, lawsuits, and they're afraid they're going to make less money next year.
Well, Lloyd Morgan, you mentioned this earlier, that it's about the idea of responsible use. How can we maybe use these kinds of devices in a more responsible way? Granted, I know Peter and I teach, and we've got stories in our Project Censored books about cell phone exposure and Wi-Fi radiation exposure and so forth. And one of the things that people often say when they first hear this, they say, well, you're totally alarmist and you're overstating the information and you're scaring people. And again, I don't think that we've been publishing information in a way that's alarmist at all. I think it's following the precautionary principle. And I believe that that might be something that you're advocating.
Absolutely. We're not against the use of cell phones. Now, but industry could do so much more than they're doing. For example, the existing antennas are omnidirectional, meaning they radiate the same power in every direction. When you hold a cell phone to your head, half the radiation is being absorbed by your brain is not available for the cell tower. Instead, at virtually no cost, you could make a directional antenna that would radiate away from you, have less dropped calls. But tragedy of tragedies, if you were to do that, you're to admit that there's a problem, and that opens up your liability.
And what about speaker mode? What about headsets? What about, does the radiation travel up the wire to the earbud? I mean, what about those kinds of...
Wired headsets, speakerphone, texting is very much better. Yes, there's some energy that can come up the wire, but it's absolutely infinitesimal compared to holding your phone to your head.
This is the Project Censored show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. We're speaking with Lloyd Morgan, a senior research fellow of the Environmental Health Trust, also filmmaker Kevin Koons. He's one of the filmmakers of a new documentary film, Mobilize. We're talking about cell phones, Wi-Fi radiation, and health.
Kevin, you're the producer of Mobilize, a film about cell phone radiation. And I watched it for the first time last week, and it's pretty serious. I mean, there's some really important information in this film that I think is vital for people to understand. And you started doing this film how many years ago?
It was 2011,
You've been at it for a while. Did you run into resistance?
There was resistance when I was trying to interview the cell phone industry. I was able to get an interview with Steve Wozniak by being clever.
Wozniak is
the co-founder of Apple.
Right.
But I couldn't really get an interview with the CTIA, the Cellular Telecommunications Internet Association, which was the organization that was suing San Francisco for trying to pass a cell phone safety bill. And this organization did not want to speak with me at all. I was in Washington, D.C. to interview Congressman Kucinich, and they were not willing to talk with me. So finally, I just bought a media pass, and I went to their big conference they do at the San Diego Convention Center, where they hold Comic-Con. And so I went there, and I brought copies of my cell phone manual, which include information and safety guidelines. And I said, you know, this information's included in fine print. Why this organization suing the city of San Francisco? And they were just sort of flabbergasted, and it ended up being one of the funniest parts of the movie. And whenever we screen it, like, we get a ton of chuckles and laughs.
We actually see in the film, you're asking people at this conference or convention, and they seem to have almost no idea what you're talking about. They're all looking around as if they can't speak above their pay grade.
So, yeah, I went around to all the different booths for the companies and I would ask them, you know, do you have a spokesperson here? And they'd say, oh, yeah, there's a spokesperson right here. And I would say, OK, I want to ask you about, you know, this information that's in your manual. And they would say, oh, we don't have a spokesperson here who can talk on that. And it was just like a game of musical chairs where I just felt like they kept passing me off to somebody else. And they were like, oh, this person's not here. You know, maybe we can arrange something in the future. But no one ever followed up. And we never got an interview with really someone from the cell phone industry. But we did interview their lobbying organization, the CTIA, because they were just getting annoyed with the fact that we were kind of ruining their little party in San Diego. So they said, all right, we'll do an interview with you for 5 minutes, kid, you know? And then I started asking these questions, you know, can cell phones be made safer? And they eventually were like, all right, we have to stop this interview. So there are still a lot of questions I have for that organization. And there are a lot of questions that even Congressman Dennis Kucinich wanted to ask them. And he actually called them to a hearing and they refused to show up. So they just don't seem to want to talk about this issue.
For listeners, Dennis Kucinich is the former Congress member from Ohio.
Yes.
Peter?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty clear to me that phone companies, the cell phone industry, is not wanting to really have people read the small print, so to speak. I mean, it's like getting a life insurance contract that's 40 pages long. I mean, nobody reads that. And in this case, there's some very serious warnings about exposures. What is the typical warning that you would see?
Usually they say to keep it about 15 millimeters away from the body. Some to say, you know, about an inch away from the body. But some warnings in there really concern me, like one in the BlackBerry Torch, for instance, said, keep away from the abdomen of pregnant women. And it's like, why are you burying that in fine print and then suing cities when they want to try and take that information and put it on the box? And what's so sad is they're suing, saying it goes against their freedom of speech as corporations.
As corporate persons.
Yeah. So it's interesting. If you really dig into the paperwork, you start to find that the Federal Communications Commission actually requires these cell phone companies to include this fine print information. Because when they test out the cell phones against the body, they test them a certain distance away. And they only test them for about 15 minutes, which is sort of concerning when you consider lifetime exposure.
The closer to your body you hold the cell phone, the higher the radiation.
Yes, that's correct. So I would say just don't keep the antenna near your body. I still use my phone. I actually think I use my phone more than ever since doing this documentary. I'm completely an advocate of technology. But I just think people should be aware of this. You know, it took us years before we put seatbelts and airbags in cars, and I think we could have saved a lot of lives if we did that a lot sooner.
And, of course, there was great corporate pushback. Ralph Nader was instrumental in helping us get more consumer safety issues. And, again, it's quite alarming that there's this big pushback, number one, from the tech industry. But number two, we're arguing here, I mean, by we, I mean you know, in the, you and your film and advocates for this, you're advocating for the precautionary principle and responsible use. You're not talking about alarmist, henny-penny, the sky is falling, and you're not pushing that button. You're saying, hey, this stuff is becoming more and more ubiquitous. Everyone is using it, particularly in quote-unquote developed countries around the world, and yet we're racing forward with it without asking the key questions that you point out in the film Mobilize, which, by the way, at Project Censored, we've been covering these stories for quite some time because they're not, and of course this is why you did your movie, is that this information is not in the corporate media. It's not really being broadcast everywhere. In our 2014 book, we did a story by James Tracy on the looming health crisis from wireless technology at Global Research. Certainly our affiliate Ken Burrows at San Francisco State University, who actually helped us put the program together today, has long discussed that. Even in our Censored 2015 book, our newest book, our 14th story of the top 25 is accumulating evidence of ongoing wireless technology hazards. And Ken Burrows helped us research that. The author of the story was Jim Tracy at Global Research again, and also another site called powerwatch.org. So it isn't that there aren't people covering these issues. It's that they're not getting a lot of exposure. And I think your film is really aimed at trying to get to that broader audience of people that may not be looking at these sources.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a challenge. I mean, if you watched the Academy Awards this past year, you saw just how much advertising Samsung did with their selfies and with Ellen DeGeneres. But yeah, it's just incredible. If you look at any film festival, any of the major film festivals out there, they have a cell phone sponsor. So, you know, that's thousands of dollars annually. And for them, it's sort of a risk. Are we going to show a documentary that is going to, you know, prevent us from making money? And especially a lot of film festivals don't make money and they rely on their sponsors.
Kevin, has corporate media reviewed your film, Mobilize?
Well, no, actually, and that's sort of one of the challenging things. While I'm a huge fan of Michael Moore, and while working on this film, I really looked up to him, and Roger and Me was a huge inspiration, as well as Bowling for Columbine. But it was really sad, as I was working on this movie in 2012, Michael Moore and a couple of other documentary filmmakers petitioned the Academy Awards to make it even more difficult for documentary filmmakers to get shortlisted for the Oscars. And essentially what it used to be is you had to screen for a week in L.A. or New York at a theater, and this would give time for critics and the Academy members to see your movie. What Michael Moore and other filmmakers petitioned for is that in addition to screening for a week in New York and L.A., you also had to get a review in the New York Times and the L.A. Times. And for me, if you know anything about media consolidation, you know that that's owned by one person. So it's sort of like if that one person doesn't want to screen your documentary will never get the exposure that it really should get, because a lot of people aren't going to review your movie if you're not qualifying for the Oscars.
Well, Kevin Koons, that's exactly what we do at Project Censored, is we look at these problems of consolidation of corporate media, top-down managed news propaganda. Mm-hmm. And it's also the case, you've said it yourself, given the money, the lobbying power, and the advertising of the telecom industry, the major media outlets that make their money through advertisers are worried about offending these groups. They don't want to have these kinds of conflicts. So it's easier for them to ignore. And again, it's the World Health Organization, I mean, you know, of all places, has warned about these kind of things. So again, this is not necessarily an alarmist affair. And we think it's important that more people find out about your work, what you're doing with Mobilize. And can you give listeners a place where they can learn more and contact you about inviting you to do screenings in their communities?
Yeah, so you can check us out at mobilizemovie.com. We have information about screenings on there, or where you can buy the DVD. If you want to buy it through a cell phone company, you can get it on Amazon, or you can also stream it through Vimeo On Demand. The website also includes a lot of information about legislation, too, especially the efforts in Berkeley.
Kevin Koons, thanks so much for joining us today. The film is Mobilize, a film about cell phone radiation. Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. You're listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio, and we would like to go now to a clip and play an excerpt from the film Mobilize right now. And you'll get to hear a little bit more about what's in that film and what we're talking about with the politics of telecom and the cell phone industry. Here is a clip from the film Mobilize.
Industry has resisted even the most minimal amount of information being disclosed. Finally, we just said in our bill, read your owner's manual for the safest usage of your phone, and they fought that as well. The more they resist, the more it makes me wonder, what in fact are they hiding from us?
The cell phone industry seems to be using the playbook of the tobacco industry in fighting any efforts, particularly at the local level right now, to try to do any kind of information, education, or legislation around the use of cell phones. And I think in large part they're doing this to have a chilling effect at the local level. They sue San Francisco, then a lot of other communities who are on the verge of adopting a similar law will probably hold back for a while. And there are about a dozen countries now that have adopted precautionary health recommendations with regard to cell phones. So I think the industry is being short-sighted, trying to play this game, saying, well, we have First Amendment rights. I think our system of law has really gone too far in the direction of giving rights to corporations.
The oppressive boot of finance and money and influence on the legislative process that spills over invariably into the scientific community. I can cite you a number of reports around the issues of asbestos, smoking, and other forms of radiation. So we know what the influence and the power of money and vested interests can do to the welfare of the body politic of this country. We have a responsibility to employ those principles that were developed from our life experiences, having to do with how people have been bamboozled by bad products with lots of money behind them, and congresspeople and others being bought off to look the other way. We're not looking the other way.
The responsible thing for the cell phone industry to do would be to provide to researchers access to the data on actual usage. The limitation of the studies to date are the exposure assessment. The cell phone industry has that data of how much time each cell phone is being used, maybe not if it's shared among people, but most cell phones are not. That's the kind of information that would really allow one to do the proper kind of study.
If researchers had access to the call records, they might be able to make better assessments about this and to either prove or disprove the fact that they might have any association with cancer risk. Are you opposed to this?
Well, the federal government doesn't control any call records whatsoever. That I would be highly opposed to that. I think anybody who's a believer in the American system of life wouldn't want the federal government snooping into their lives.
But Homeland Security has access to those records.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, if Homeland Security has access, would you be opposed to giving that same access to researchers,
well,
just looking at the health effects?
There's no reason to grant that access based on the overwhelming evidence of the scientific pieces of work.
It's kind of mixed.
But we can argue about that.
I know, but you said the word.
Everyone's concerned about privacy in the context of access to cell phone records, and rightfully so. But there are ways to architect that access so that nobody would have any fear about ever being tied specifically to particular usage patterns. And instead, those usage patterns could be anonymized so that we could begin to understand whether there is some connection.
Obviously, we need a whole lot more research on all of these issues. Which is one of the really frustrating things, is so little research has been done. There's virtually no funding for research. And I even hear this from my European colleagues, where there's been a fair amount of research, that they have a very difficult time finding funding outside of the industry to do anything. So we've been quite remiss in doing research on this issue. We've been very resistant to the whole issue as a nation, or as, at least as, in terms of our governmental health authorities. We seem to be in denial.
The Moby Kids study is happening now in Europe. What's interesting about that study is twofold. One, that it's focusing on the safety of cell phones for children. The second thing that's interesting is that the U.S. is not participating in that study. I don't understand why that's true.
In December of 2009, I first met Donna. She was a very healthy, vigorous, athletic, no predisposing factors for cancer. Family history was negative. From everything I could see, there was no obvious explanation for this young woman to have a breast cancer, particularly a multifocal breast cancer. And the only possible association I could identify was that she had a habit of always carrying her cell phone under her right brassiere strap. Breast cancers are characteristically diagnosed in women in their 50s and 60s. The Asian population have a lower incidence overall. Due to Donna's young age, lack of risk factors, multifocal disease, Asian history, normal medical history with no predisposing factors, I would say that she would be an unusual case.
I don't have any history of breast cancer in my family, and I also had the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genetic tests conducted on me, and it came up negative. So I don't have the genetic mutations for breast cancer. And with each following doctor appointment, it seemed like as if they kept finding another tumor and another tumor. We connected the dots of where the locations of the tumors were based off the biopsy. We made marks on me of where the location of the tumors were, and realized that it formed the shape of the cell phone underneath the footprint of the phone where I used to keep it.
The breast tissue in the young childbearing year menstruating woman is a fertile ground for cellular activity, metabolic activity, and arguably cancer causation. Causation in this situation may be difficult to prove. The issue here is that if there is even a small possibility that the thermal or piezoelectric effect or other pulse electromagnetic field influences could even remotely influence the behavior, biology, and possible carcinogenicity in this setting, I would urge people to avoid exposure. After all, cancer is a wound that will not heal. It's a chronic inflammation that we cannot address. And so thermal injury is well established as one of many causative factors in disease and cancer.
The patterns seem to be established from what I would see is that these women were tended to be younger, late 30s, early 40s, some up until late 40s, that they had the cell phone in the bra for 5 to 10 years, and the cancer occurred primarily in the upper inner aspect of the breast, which is kind of an unusual place for breast cancers, but all of them had it in the same place except for one. And the final example, the one that had it in her lower breast, is even more striking. This is a woman in her late 30s who's worked in a cell phone factory where she would check cell phones. They would come across underneath her breast on a conveyor belt. She checked the phones regularly on the conveyor belt. They were on and active. And she did this for years. And she turned up with breast cancers in the lower aspect of both breasts. Now, to have a young woman with mirror image breast cancers in the lower aspects of both breasts pop up at, you know, sort of out of the blue in somebody with no family history, this is really unusual.
I would say that would be extraordinarily rare. I mean, to have mirror multifocal disease in the opposite breasts in similar locations would certainly speak to some form of exposure. These tissues, where there is a high degree of estrogen metabolism constituting rich lipid sources, the water and fat would be very good vibratory substrates for heating, which is the mechanism by which microwaves work.
If news is a business, the consumer of the news suffers because good business decisions may not necessarily be good decisions for spreading information. Anytime you're dealing with some sort of new scientific data that runs afoul of the general common thought, there is a hesitance to report on it.
I mean, I think the mainstream media make their choices depending on what they want to communicate. They're not, unfortunately, necessarily communicating as public health for public health purposes. They're communicating for media purposes, and those may be divergent.
I was taken by the fact that after a 5-year international study had been conducted, that there was not a single story in the New York Times, Washington Post, or LA Times. It was as if the story had been blacked out.
You know, it's absolutely clear that cell phone companies use whatever leverage they can to undermine the spread of information that's raising questions about this. Chris Ketchum, when he published his piece in GQ about cell phone radiation, GQ, I was told by former editors at GQ, had to sit on that piece for more than a year as they fought with their editorial and business units about the fact that cell phone companies were threatening to pull all advertisement from GQ if they ran this article. So there's no doubt that they're going to use the pressure they can.
What was remarkable is that there was no headline. There was no story about it. It was just lost in the back of an article. Apathy. People are disconnected. They just don't care. They don't believe. And why does that matter? Because that's the foundational principle that makes everything possible. Look, special interest on both sides, guys. They buy silence. They buy apathy. They buy politicians. In a pessimistic and fearful environment, you're going to fight for your patch.
That was an excerpt from the film Mobilize, a film about cell phone radiation. We're speaking with filmmaker Kevin Koons. And here's another clip from that film.
They had the same environment, the same diet, the same exercise regimen. They were the same genetic background. The only difference between our mice were one group had an inactive cell phone and the other had an active cell phone. We chose to look at the effect on the fetus, the exposure during pregnancy, because in the fetus, the brain is still developing. It's one of the most fragile and vulnerable times. The cell phones were then removed at the time of birth, and we watched these mice as they developed, became adults, and what we found were lasting permanent effects in their behavior based on whether they were exposed to cell phones or not. The mice that were exposed to cell phones had very different behaviors. These mice were more active. They were, in some sense, hyperactive. They had decreased memory. They were not able to recognize objects with repeated exposures to the same object. In some sense, this resembles attention deficit hyperactivity disorder that we see in children, or ADHD. This is a disease that is increasing in the United States and has paralleled the increase in cell phone use. What we find in mice may not necessarily be true for humans, but certainly it does show that these biological effects are real, and it gives us concern and shows the importance of investigating this further in humans.
But it turns out that my cell phone may be a hazard to me, because the World Health Organization is now warning that cell phone use is, quote, possibly carcinogenic to humans. Possibly? Well, then I am possibly crapping my pants.
We reviewed all relevant epidemiological studies, finding evidence, particularly coming from the two largest such studies, that wireless phone use was associated with higher risk for glioma, a malignant type of brain cancer, particularly in those who had the most use. These studies were carried out between roughly the major studies, 97 to 2003, 2004. There were a number of individuals in these studies who had used their phones as long as 10 to 15 years, but that is approximately the longest window on which we have observation. So we don't know what may happen as people use their mobile phones longer and longer, and presumably potentially across their full lifespans.
I think it's important that the World Health Organization has identified cell phone use as a potential cancer risk. And I agree with the conclusion. I think what really pertains here is the precautionary principle. The burden of proof is on the industry and on those who want to say there is no risk involved. And the simple reality is that the epidemiologic data are inconclusive, but what they suggest is that there is an unexplained increased incidence of cancer with long-term use of cell phones. And the cancers tend to occur preferentially on the side of the brain closest to the handheld phone. Of course, the big worry is that children are now using mobile phones extensively, and that was never the case before. So we're now looking for the first time at lifelong exposure, decades of exposure, and nobody knows what the implications of that might be.
That's a clip from the film Mobilize, and this is the Project Censored show on Pacifica Radio. We're talking about cell phone radiation. Do cell phones cause health risks? Here's Peter Phillips to introduce our next guest.
I'm really proud to introduce Max Anderson today. He's a Berkeley City Council member since 2004, over a decade. He's a member of the California Nurses Association, formerly with the Berkeley Rent Stabilization Board, and has been a strong advocate. He's in the film Mobilize. Max, tell us how you got interested in these issues around cell phones, and what's planned for the city of Berkeley.
I originally got interested in the whole topic because my background's in public health and healthcare. I'm a retired ICU nurse that retired about 5 years ago. And during my career, I've had a chance to see a lot of illness and understand the relationship between causative factors and the manifestations of disease that confound sometimes the medical efforts to treat and prevent these things. So I had a natural interest in that, you know. I attended graduate school, the School of Public Health, and also in city planning at Cal. So I have a background in this. I was on the Planning Commission for a number of years as well.
The city of Berkeley is looking at possible legislation that would make the public more aware of the warnings that are already listed in cell phone use, but most people don't read or seem to understand. What's pending there?
We passed the recommendation and referral to the city manager a few weeks ago to ensure that they will return to us with legislation that we can move on. Now, that legislation will be informed by Lawrence Lessig, who is a renowned Harvard law professor, who's agreed to do pro bono work for the city in the event that we are sued by this litigious agency that we're confronting about their policies. The essence of the legislation is to inform people of what's already in their manuals, what's already hidden in very obscure places in their cell phones. For instance, with an iPhone, you have to go 5 pages deep in order to even get a discussion about distances that are safe to have the phone from your body cavities and so forth. And when you get there, unlike most text in the cell phone, you can't enlarge it. It's still in very small print. And with a magnifying glass, you may be able to discern what they're trying to convey. But the injunction from the FCC was to tell all cell phone manufacturers that they had to put this information in legible, clear, and conspicuous print. But they have managed to circumvent that and make it that much more difficult for people to get the basic information they need to use the cell phone safely. So our ordinance will lift this language from obscurity and make it plain and have it handed out in a leaflet form to all cell phone purchasers in the city so that this language comes from its obscure place, an illegible place, or some place that's available for them to read and understand. And it basically says, don't use this cell phone device next to your body. And it says that you have to at least have 10 millimeters of distance between the cell phone and your body surface. And this is just part of any prudent effort on the part of governments to provide the consumers with knowledge that they need to safely and knowledgeably operate the cell phones.
Max Anderson, Berkeley City Council member who's been working on a cell phone radiation safety law. And, you know, Max Anderson, it's as if the smaller the font, the bigger the problem. The smaller the font, the bigger the liability and issue, and you're trying to reverse that. And that was, of course, as you said, I want to repeat what you said, that was from the FCC saying that they had to make it legible, visible, conspicuous, right. And the cell phone industry won't do that.
They've dragged their feet on this. You know, it's pretty clear that they view any elucidation of this information as a threat to their sales and revenues. And our concern, of course, being a government body by the people, is that we want to ensure that the citizens in our jurisdiction have a fighting chance to employ safe procedures that are already mandated by the FCC, even though the Telecommunications Act of 1996 was virtually written by the telecommunications industry. And since that time, I went to a website a few years ago, and they had spent $500 million lobbying bribes or whatever you want to call them to Congress, $500 million in the space of 10 years. So that was 8 years ago. So this industry has grown from a few people using these cell phones 20 years ago until now there's more cell phones in use than there are people in the population.
Well, and their former, the former telecom spokesperson, cell phone spokesperson, Tom Wheeler, is now head of the SEC. Lloyd Morgan brought that up earlier. That's obviously a huge conflict of interest and problem. But Max Anderson, Berkeley City Council member, I wanted to just point out very quickly that San Francisco did run into a problem with this. They were threatened and sued and had to change this. How is this different now? How is what's going on in Berkeley different than what San Francisco tried to do? And, you know, why do you hope maybe this will be more effective or more successful?
Well, a few years ago, in an unpublished opinion by the Ninth Circuit, they found fault with the San Francisco ordinance. We have strenuously and studiously avoided the same pitfalls. So when we drafted this ordinance, it avoided those areas where the Ninth Circuit cited as being not up to legal muster. So this has been vetted by Lawrence Lessig, as I said again, from the Harvard Law School. He volunteered to do the pro bono work if sued. And, of course, the telecommunications industry sues everybody. They're much like the NRA in that regard. If you propose any sensible safety regulations, they view it as a threat to their bottom line. So they come after you with everything they have, and they are able, by virtue of the tremendous amount of resources they command, to overwhelm most local jurisdictions who don't have the resources to face them off in court over a long period of time and bankrupt the cities that they are trying to protect.
Well, billion-dollar corporations are trying to prevent cities from alerting the public to the information that they are required to post inside of their information pamphlets when you buy a cell phone. That just doesn't make sense to me, but that's what it is, and that's why you're here, Max, to tell us that. And Lloyd, I want to get back to you. One of the things that I have at home is a cordless phone, and what's the dangers of those?
Cordless phones show the same risk levels as cell phones. They're just as dangerous. In addition, they are always transmitting. You have a base station, which is where you put the handset. It's transmitting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're exposed to that all the time. A lot of people will keep their cordless phones in their bedroom so that if the phone rings in the middle of the night, they don't have to get out of bed. Well, I can't think of a worse place to place it, because that's where you will spend a predictable amount of time. A lot of people think, well, I'll use a Bluetooth headset. Bluetooth headsets are kept on the ear like 16 hours a day. People seem to use them like status symbols. And they're radiating less power, but it's cumulative with both power and time. So they not only have roughly the same amount of radiation being absorbed by your brain, but in addition, where is the cell phone while you're using the Bluetooth? If it's in your pocket, it's a double whammy.
Not only that, Lloyd Morgan, but let's say you're in a vehicle like your car. Isn't it the case that metal and glass and so forth somehow amplify maybe the radiation or signal, and when the phone is trying to get to that tower, that it is even a stronger signal?
What you can get, not from glass, which is transparent, but all metal, it reflects. Mm-hmm. So whether you're in an elevator, a car, a bus, a train, an airplane, the signal is reflecting off. So it says that you can be in a stronger field than you would be if you were standing outside.
That's pretty amazing. And again, you're listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. And today we've been talking about cell phones, potential health risks, increasing health risks. We've certainly been talking about conflicts of interest in the cell phone industry. And, you know, it's interesting that people in these telecom industries compete among themselves on prices and features. But when it comes to safety issues, they kind of hang together as one. They don't want to come clean. They don't want people to know, which is, again, awfully strange, because it's kind of odd to think that you'd want more people to use your product more often, and eventually that's going to cause a lot of danger and harm to your customers who won't be around to pay you anymore. So even if your only bottom line is the bottom line, this practice just doesn't make any sense.
You know, Volvo made a business out of a safer car. People can make a business out of safer cell phones. There's very simple things you can do at virtually no cost whatsoever. The other thing is to recognize that laptops, tablets, iPads, all of these devices, the exposure limit begins at approximately eight inches away, 20 centimeters from the device. So they actually radiate far more power than a cell phone. Obviously, you have a laptop on your lap. It's not 8 inches from your body. In a classroom where you have Wi-Fi, and there's no need for that, you can have cabled internet. Yeah, teaching on the internet is important. You have kids that are in a classic quadrille row column of layout. So you're being irradiated by not only your own device, but the kid behind you, the kid in front of you, the kid to the left, the kid to the right. And because exposures decrease so rapidly over distance, that's the total exposure. But a whole classroom of children being irradiated at a younger age when they're more at risk is an insanity.
That's Lloyd Morgan, Senior Research Fellow, Environmental Health Trust. We're very glad you were able to join us today. Max Anderson, Berkeley City Council member from 2004 to present. Tell folks where they can learn more about what's going on with the work you're doing to try to help people find out about cell phone safety and what's going on with the Berkeley City Council.
Well, as I said earlier, we refer this to the city manager and the city attorney and the pro bono attorney that's working with them to craft the final language. But it should be coming back to us, to the city council, in the next few months. We need, I think, to see if we can't speed this process up a little bit, because it's due to come back in April, and I don't think it should take that long for the draft to come back to the city council for final approval. So you can contact your city council members, as well as the city manager and others, to help ensure that we get this language back to us so we can act on it.
Well, Max Anderson, thanks so much for joining us. We'll have you back on the program coming up here in spring when it gets closer to that. We'd love to hear more updates from it. So thank you for taking time out of your schedule to help us inform the community here about this very important issue.
Well, thank you, this program in particular, and the efforts you make to ensure that the public is informed about important issues.
And Lloyd Morgan, thank you for taking time out and joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
We earlier spoke with filmmaker Kevin Koons. You've been listening to the Project Censored show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. Today we've been looking into what science tells us about the dangers of cell phones and other Wi-Fi age devices. We've been looking at this new film called Mobilize, a film about cell phone radiation. You can learn more at mobilizemovie.com. You can also check out a book by Martin Blank called Overpowered, What Science Tells Us About These Dangers of Cell Phones and Other Wi-Fi Age Devices. And that's about it for our program today. Thanks for joining us on the Project Censored Show. For more information and to listen to archives of previous shows, you can go to www.projectcensored.org. Please follow and like us on Facebook. Anthony Fest is our intrepid producer. Erica Bridgman is the master engineer at the controls. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. We will see you next time.
We're not commodities or cogs that turn to global economy. We're the promise of a legacy, a spirit we're honoring. An anomaly to those who can't imagine a world without oppressive forces, slavery for almighty dollar bills. We won. We got the love of just our brothers and our sisters. We're the people together can overthrow the system. Perpetrated by the criminal minds, political ties, habitual eyes, alibis, disguise, another guise of democracy, politics, of the apocalypse, got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison, genocide, wars, fall for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons, build the capacity, citizens, in the times for the master thief, combine, conquer, steal a masterpiece, open your eyes and realize what's happening. Time's running out to reach all potential, fame at the table, then you're probably on the menu. We got that love, we flip the brothers in.